There's a lot of stuff up there.
Oh, man.
Hey, well, welcome to American Christian. You know what? This is podcast number 83 or 84.
Right.
I probably should look and see.
I'm not sure.
You know, I've been kind of watching these other guys on their podcast stock, and things are pretty casual. You know, I was always thinking that we needed to be so regimented,
like,
and
tuxedos.
Well, yeah, maybe.
I see you in a tuxedo.
Oh, that'll be the day.
That'll be something to see.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you know, so there is this thing where I was like, kind of like, ah, should we be dressing up, or we got to be on all these bulleted points? But you know what? The guys that are really up and teaching and doing this work, it seems to me it's a very casual state. And even you said that, you know, like with Andrew Womack, right?
Yeah.
Like
he just wears a shirt.
Just sitting there at a table, right?
Drinks a little iced tea like this.
Single. He has a single camera angle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's about it. I'd like to get a second camera angle, but you know what? When we start getting in some gifts for that, where we can go into a switcher, that'd be pretty cool. If this is something that we decide to do, and I think this is, like, I was watching this morning Adalys Shuttlesworth, and she was all ramped up on, like, look, I am up every morning, and I'm telling my body, look, you need to get up. You need to go. We need to move. We got stuff we got to do. You know, the kingdom of God, isn't it? There's no, like, pause button at 11:30 at night and the kingdom of God shuts down.
So, like, I'm not the only person that has to do that in the morning, huh?
Yeah. We're all...
Get out of bed.
Yeah. Like, I got shagged out of bed at 4:30 this morning. And the Lord was just on me. And I was
nice.
Like, good Lord, what do we do? What's going on? What is so important today?
Hey, when he moves, you move with
you
him.
You move with him.
Right.
Well, hey, you know, we've got this, our forensic file. It's one, it's our one piece of paper here.
Yeah.
But we pulled this out of, if you haven't been watching or listening to the podcast, we pulled this out of a video clip that Doc found on the World Economic Forum website, the COP26 or whatever it's called.
But it's actually an ad. That is, it's a video that's out. It may pop up on your phone because it did on mine.
Man,
I was just looking at something else. All of a sudden,
who are these guys? They can just pop something up there for it. Like,
right.
Why can't our stuff pop up on a guy's phone?
So now we've gone through it.
Oh my word, have we
through
gone
the
through
first?
It?
Oh, what is it? 10 points.
Yeah.
That come up on this video. And this video is all. What is it? Like 3 minutes, and they cram the points in there.
Oh, they make it look pretty and fluffy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, very appealing to the millennials and the.
It's nicely done.
Z.
It's it's good. They got good video guys. They got good. Coders and...
All right, but listen, to set the record straight.
Let's do it.
They have an uphill battle on their hands.
Oh, yeah.
Selling what they have to sell.
Yeah, they do.
Because they have to sell the points and tenets of the Communist Manifesto. And
you mean this?
That right there, yes, sir.
Deke.
Right.
Yeah. And when was this written?
In 1848.
1848, Doc.
Right.
Man.
People are still ordering their lives by it today.
Yeah, and you know what? They're just changing the color, but the aroma is still the same.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
It's terrible.
Well, okay, but here's the deal. When you start out with number one, because they must have made a decision in selling it this way. Let's just hit them in the face with number one, and then we'll kind of back off, and we'll get nice and get some attractive stuff in there. Because number one is, you will own nothing, but you'll be happy.
Yeah, well,
and that's a modern way of saying. 1848, abolition of private property.
Oh, wow. Right. That's really a stretch.
Okay. And then you got to sell stuff like the abolition of the family. Because in Marx's wonderful utopia, there will be no family as you know it now.
All right.
I mean, it's, you know.
Well, the family's been under attack for
a long time.
Man, probably since the early 60s.
Yeah, probably since Adam and Eve.
Remember Cain, that part?
Remember Cain and Abel?
You're going to drag us all the way back into Genesis.
Okay, but so we went through all these. We got through all the carbon credit things and all that.
Yep.
And we're ready now. See, there has to be a carrot on the end of the stick. Before you get beaten with the stick, there has to be a carrot there to kind of entice you and keep you going. Right?
Well, you know what they sent, what actually went out probably before, well, maybe not before this, but when Kamala sat down to talk to the grade school kids about doing this number 11 right here. Remember, did you see that?
Yeah, that's right.
That was sad. Oh, she's talking to these, you know, teenagers like they're 6 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was, so here it is.
What is it,
Preparations
Doc?
To go to Mars are underway. You could be preparing for the 7 months
journey.
That's
the seed they're putting into the young minds.
That's how long it takes? 7 months.
We did. We Googled it today.
And if you maybe you don't want to come back, but if you want to come back, it's another 7 months coming back.
Oh, my word. And that's provided that nothing goes wrong. It says the trip to Mars will take about 7 months and about 300 million miles. And during that journey, engineers have several opportunities to adjust the spacecraft's flight path and to make sure its speed and direction are best for arrival at Jezero Crater on Mars. Like, they even know, like, they're going to go.
Where are you going to land? But be rest assured, if you're worried about your health, science has figured out how to keep you healthy in space. So you're not going to really care about owning nothing. You're not really going to care about there being no family or anything like that because you're going to be flying to Mars.
Wow, 7 months. Are we there yet?
And then, but it sets us up for this next one.
Which is what?
The start of a journey to find alien life. Now, this is huge.
Well, it's been around for a long time.
Well, it has.
You know.
Yeah, like Genesis 6. I took you back to Genesis 3 and 4, but here, now,
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But do tell.
I mean, all right. So why all this interest in alien life that's been around now in the last, 20, 30 years? It's big. Movies and TV series and Roswell, New Mexico and, you know, all the UFOs and all this. What is going on, Pete?
Well, I think that you should give him the technical term behind all of this, which you just threw down on me before I pushed play or start to record this thing. But I was like, what? Like, you know, I mean, this isn't something that's new or that's been in, it's been in academia for a long time, is what I hear you saying to me.
Right. Well, the big word is that the human being as an entity in this world we live in, every one of us has a desire for the transcendent.
Which means
things out beyond us, in space or in a spiritual world or in a parallel universe or however you want to say it. And it's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because when you read the Bible starting in Genesis, this is what God is constantly using to reach down to man because he made us in his image.
Right.
God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, if you're a spirit being, you're going to have this desire for the transcendent. So, so now we have the deal with aliens, and it's very useful, actually, for people who don't really want to believe in the biblical revelation of God. That's usually where this comes from.
Right.
Now, let me say as we get started, I don't think that UFOs and even certain alien creatures, you know how they're drawn with the pointy eyes and the heads and all that.
Goofy looking heads.
Right. Yeah. I don't think those are totally imaginary. I think that there are real, call them UFOs or whatever you want to call them, and I think there are real creatures that people have seen. The problem is, in this universe we live in, there's really only three kingdoms and only three places where beings can come from.
Ah.
And one is from God's kingdom, and there are angels, and there are archangels, and there's God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You all through the Old Testament, you read the appearances of the angel of the Lord and other kinds of angels.
Yes.
And all kinds of interventions by God. And then you have human beings. Okay, that's, we know what we are and what we look like and how we operate.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the kingdom of Satan.
Yeah.
And what's really interesting to me is the more I've traveled to Africa, the more I've seen that our culture is really just catching up. I mean, the Africans with their witchcraft and incantations and worship of the devil are way ahead of all this alien stuff. Shapeshifters,
yeah,
that's the big thing for kids, has been for even my kids. I remember it back on TV. Shapeshifters, that's been going on, not in imagination, in literal happening all over Africa for centuries.
Wow, Doc, I didn't know we were going to go in here.
Well, here's where
are. We're opening up a big wide door.
We are.
Into the demonic, right?
Right, because I think some of this stuff, now look, some people have vivid imaginations. Once they've seen a TV show on the zombies, you know, or whatever, or on aliens, or their imagination can take off, and I understand that.
Yeah.
But some people at the core of some of this actually saw something that was there.
Right.
And I'm telling you, demonic spirits and fallen angels especially, maybe even different from demonic spirits, fallen angels have abilities to change their bodies, to look, appear like things. And I think what are called UFOs are a high level of a fallen angel in Satan's kingdom that can make it. And this is why they can do the things they say UFOs do. They take right angle turns at 12,000 miles an hour. You know, we don't know of any sentient being that can stand that kind of force and change in direction. But they're not physical. They're spiritual beings. And they have abilities that we don't have. And so I'm just saying, at the core of some of this, there are things that are real, but they're coming from the other side.
Yeah, you know, when you were talking about what was that? What's our big word of the day?
Transcendent.
Transcendent. The kingdom has one thing, and that's heaven.
Mm.
One thing.
Mm.
But the enemy has how many different things?
Mm.
Look at all the different religions with all their different where you're going to go and what you're going to do. Look at outside of religion and look at where you can go and what are the possibilities in the third dimension and the seventh dimension or whatever. I mean, it's all kinds of theory, mathematics and science and right? I mean, it's huge. All of these are imposters to the transcendent.
Right.
And they're robbing the people of God of their true identity and where they're really headed. So when you start getting distracted, you start watching shows about this kind of stuff and you start reading and you start exploring and trying to understand and where all this stuff is coming from, I would say be careful. Be very careful.
And you see, this whole thing with aliens has really become very useful in several different fronts for people.
How so?
Well, you remember Charles Darwin and evolutionary biology.
Mm.
And the teaching that species could jump over the wall and become, over millions of years of time, can become a different species, and all this kind of crazy talk that has, for a long time, that was mainstream biology in the late 1900s, in the first half of the 20th century. And you were thought to be a kook if you believed in creation, like the Bible tells it. Well, then some certain things started to be taken seriously Like, really? You mean you're telling me a species becomes another species? And you're telling me this takes millions and millions of years, and these creatures are somehow able to reproduce before their reproductive organs are fully evolved? This doesn't really work.
Right.
So what they came up with back, well, that's a couple of decades ago now, what they came up with, well, in the Cambrian period of history, you know, there's all these periods that history is divided into and so forth. So they called it the Cambrian intrusion or the Cambrian accident or something like that. And that's when aliens came to the Earth. And all this evolution was no, really. There are.
Well, you got to throw it in somewhere,
right? Okay.
And it has to make some kind of sense,
right? So and so there couldn't be. I mean, how do you get an amoeba to be a man? You know, I mean, that's a big jump.
It takes a long time.
Oh
right?
Yeah, a very long.
Millions
time.
And years.
Millions and millions.
You throw millions of years into
but
anything.
But even with millions of years, you couldn't get there. So you had to put aliens in. And aliens had the power to bridge that over.
Where did the aliens get their power from?
Well, you just have to believe.
Oh, there's that little word.
Yeah, I mean, they just come down here. We don't know where they came from. We just know they jumped us over the wall, and now here we all are.
Right, it's kind of like the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus.
Well,
and how long can you believe in that?
Well,
I've heard people believing in it all the way up until like 12 and 13.
But Pete, I'm telling you, it is a mechanism, and it's a way of staying away from God.
Right, that's what I'm saying. All of this is being injected, not into... your advanced levels of, not your master's degree stuff, they're seeding this into third and fourth grade.
Oh, yeah.
They're seeding this into the minds of 8, 9, and 10-year-olds that are staying at home on Saturday
right.
morning watching cartoons and Transformers.
Oh, yeah.
And the ninja
guys,
what are they? The Ninja Rangers or the Power Rangers, right? Transformation.
Right. All over on the transcendent side.
Right.
Without God.
Right.
So this video, then, getting back to our starting point here.
Yeah.
So you can go to Mars, and it can be number 13 is the start of a journey to find alien life. And this is so appealing to the new generation because they've been watching this since they were babies.
Well, and their parents were watching it too.
Well, they were. You know, alien, I mean, and, you know, I guess we had it in a different form way back before that was Superman. Where did Superman come from? He was shot down here in a rocket from Krypton, right?
Oh.
And he landed in the field, and they found him, and there he was.
That's why you got to be a Batman guy.
Yeah, okay.
Because yeah, Batman's just a guy.
He's just a guy.
Yeah.
That's true.
He's got cool gadgets.
Yeah. Yeah. In one movie, they say to him, "What's your superpower?" He goes, "I'm rich." Okay. Right. No, but the thing is, to reach out for the transcendent, if you're reaching for salvation and eternal life and you're reaching to Jesus and the Father, this is good. But there's a lot of other stuff out there in that zone that wants your attention.
Right.
And the way you make abolition of private property and abolition of the family and the total destruction of society as we know it, the way you make that appealing is just something in our new generations now, something they really treasure and like. And that's, wow, aliens. I could have my own alien. Or I could talk to aliens.
Wow.
Well, okay, people talk to aliens. Remember King Saul? And the Witch of Endor?
Wow, come on.
She brought him over from the transcendent side.
Right.
Right.
This isn't anything new.
It was his destruction because it was demonic reality.
Right.
Right. So you intersperse this stuff with the old Communist Manifesto, and then you get to These last two, I mean, they are all encompassing. If we could unpack what's in these last two, I mean, dude, it is huge. Number 14 is Western values will have been tested to the breaking point. There's where you get your destruction of the family.
Yeah.
There's where you get your destruction of society as we know it. And we all come to serve the one great master, and that is the state. Because
isn't that weird?
The state is all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful. The state can feed you. The state can give you
a check.
Can give you money. Can rent out things to you because you don't own anything.
Well, they can give you a cut-rate deal on a place.
Right. They can give you a
Section 8 housing. You know, we're not knocking.
Right.
But comes a point in time when all of this is not going to be sustainable. And that's kind of like has been this key word for however many years now, the sustainability. But what I wanted to say about the state, all powerful, all night. Look, the state really is the one that should be dictating what we are doing when it comes to the Constitution. The state does have power, but we are supposed to be electing people that are building for our future, right? To make sure that we have the resources that we need, that right people are in office. We're not electing criminals to come in and represent us. That there's a discernment of spirits when you go to the poll. I know, I just crossed over just a little bit there, but it's just, right?
You're crossing over church and state here, brother.
I am.
And I like it.
Well, but it's like, so here's the state, which is supposed to be this good thing, which is the way that it was founded here.
And
but,
right, here with our Constitution, it was probably the best thing that humanity had ever seen.
Right, because the feds weren't...
They were limited
to be able to what they could tell the state.
Separation of powers.
Yeah, and why is that? That's not even a thing anymore.
You don't even hear anything about it anymore. And here's another thing
you do, but Florida and Texas.
Well,
I mean,
we're in Minnesota.
Well, I know.
People's Republic of Minnesota. But, anyway, when you go down this road...
Mm-hmm.
You are heading towards slavery. Government, the state, is the master.
Yeah.
And I'm not just making this up because I hate Karl Marx. I am a student of history, and I have studied Russia and the Bolshevik Revolution. Everywhere socialism is, opposite ends of the spectrum. Hitler, National Socialist Party. Shortened up to Nazi.
Ooh.
National Socialist Party. That was the name of the party. And then over, just a little east of them over there is the communists, and they hate each other, but they're both socialists. So they fight to the death at the Russian border. That's weird.
Yeah.
But that's what happened in World War II. They didn't. Apparently, they didn't have the right version of socialism in each other's eyes.
But,
really?
Yeah. So, I was telling Doc, yesterday, I said, man, just reading this stuff, it's making me sick. Like, not in a physical sense, but in my spirit. It's just, it's a sickening, I don't know, what's the word? Like, it's leaving a bad taste in your mouth, kind of like, it goes opposite of where the direction that I want to go. This is the enemy to me. But this is the thing. I was sitting in bed last night, and I'm talking to Tammy, and we're like having a conversation about this because I'm reading this stuff. And I said, I just cannot believe that people think that there's nobody in charge here.
Yeah.
Like nobody's reaping any benefit.
Well, it's utopia.
Well, but there's not a face tied to any of it.
Oh, no.
Right? I mean, am I...
Until you get it applied into real life.
Oh, then
see, where Marx wanted it all to land was on England and Germany and France and Spain. It never took hold there.
Why?
Because people had stuff.
That's right.
And they didn't want to give up their stuff.
They don't want to give up the stuff.
Even
and
the
you
common
don't want to give
everyday
up your stuff.
Laborers had stuff.
Yeah.
As much as they were being oppressed, they got paid. I mean, and they started to accumulate stuff. And they liked having their own family, not having their kids taken away from them by the state.
Whoa.
And so it didn't work until it got out east. Over the first big place, of course, was Russia with the Bolshevik Revolution.
Mm.
Their communism really took hold.
Well, and people weren't very happy in Russia.
Oh, my
God. I mean, that was the czar. That was the time of
the
czars,
czar,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
So they kind of lived separate from the rest of the
Yeah, they kind of did. Yeah, right. But this whole thing of Western values will have been tested to the breaking point. Well, what are those? Well, that a family is a father, a mother, and children.
Hmm.
Tested to the breaking point.
It's, yeah.
Well, we just watched the video yesterday of the armed forces recruiting.
Oh, my word, the recruiting.
We watched that one. Yeah, we saw, what was it?
China.
China, then North Korea.
Then Russia.
The way they advertise to get young people to be in the military in North Korea and China is they have this big thing.
They break stuff.
They ram into concrete with their heads and break it. They lay on beds of broken glass to show how tough they are.
Yeah.
And this is actual video. And they sit up from that. Hey, flex their muscles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And for great feats of strength to throw people around. Yeah. And this is how you recruit for the army. That makes sense. So then we come, although it's Russia, too. They had theirs.
Russia has theirs.
Theirs was a little different, but kind of the same thing.
Kind of along the vein of the Navy SEAL, stealth,
tough guys, weapons,
you know, muscles. Yeah.
Right. And then we come to the USA recruiting video.
Yeah.
All centered on a little girl named
Emma.
Emma.
And in cartoon form.
In cartoon
It's a
form.
Cartoon.
It's a cartoon.
Yeah.
And the thing about Emma is Emma has two mommies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of her mommies got sick.
Right.
And then she saw her mommy come back.
She saw the strength in her mommy. And that prepared her for her military career.
Right.
Mommy actually got up and walked on those exercise things.
Yeah.
And
then she went to college.
Oh, wait, though. She saw her mommies get married.
Oh, she did see her mommies get married.
That's important, too.
Yeah, that's really just a peculiar...
You think that video worries Putin? And Xi Jinping, our China guy, you think they're worried about that?
I don't think they are. I mean, we might have some pretty smart people, but I tell you what, if you're dealing with people that don't want to get up in the morning, you know, you don't want to fight. You don't want to fight now. You don't want to fight for Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you go fight in some other battle somewhere?
So Western values will have been tested to the breaking point.
You know, I put a note in here, Rochester.
How about even sexual orientation? There it is.
Oh, gender bias.
There it was. It's right in our official government recruiting for the military.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Emma has two mommies, and what a wonderful girl.
But see, they don't have that right, because Emma doesn't have two mommies. She has one birthing parent and... what do they call the other person? There's the one that makes the child, and then there's the, what do you call it, a significant other.
Oh.
And it's not a mommy, it's a birthing person. Emma is not a daughter, she is a...
Right. She
remember
is,
that?
She's a female...
offspring?
Descendant or something.
But that kind of language is how they're writing things up in... Congress now.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, they changed the wording.
Nancy Pelosi brought that forward.
What an idiot. Now, I'm going to say it. That's idiotic. It's stupid. And here we are. We're living in it, and we're in it. And you know what? Nobody's saying nothing. I don't understand this.
We're saying something. It's wrong.
It is wrong.
It's wrong. It goes all the way back to Genesis 6.
Genesis again?
Genesis 6. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, ooh, daughters were born to them.
Oh.
Boy, there's a gender-laden word. Ooh. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Now, these sons of God, in our understanding, were fallen angels. And verse 3 says, "The Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days and also afterward." This is the ancient version of aliens, okay? Really, there were giants on the earth in those days. Afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. And so, that's all very interesting. So we have alien, in some sense, these sons of God come down here, and now they're producing offspring with the daughters of men.
Yeah.
And what is God's response to this? God says, wow, why didn't I think of this? This is, I just created man in my image, but these guys,
They're going overboard.
Wow. No, verse 5.
Yeah.
"Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." So anyway, this is in the Bible. This is the back the original aliens and outcomes of that. And as you know, the story goes on to tell about the flood. God says, I'm going to wipe this out and get rid of it. And he does.
And he limits the years to man to 120.
Man. Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of a little scriptural jog thrown in there. Now, you were going to talk about Rochester, New York.
Rochester, New York is in a conundrum. Third largest city in New York, and they have a problem right now. They have a problem right now with crime. They have arrest records, guys that have been arrested 400 times.
Dude.
Like, they know who's...
Not 40.
Not 40.
400.
400 times. Same guy being arrested and turned back loose.
Gets put into the cop shop.
Yep.
And gets released.
Yeah. And why does he get released, Doc? Because they changed the justice system, right? That was set up by design. We're going to campaign for people that are left-leaning. I don't even know, like, where do you throw those guys in to the Communist Manifesto of taking over these cities, right? So now, cops, what's the point of arresting anybody if they're going to be turned loose in 8 hours and they're going to be right back on the street?
Well, yeah, you come down the flow of history a little bit here from Karl Marx and Engels. You get one of their greatest fans, Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals.
Oh.
How do you, practically speaking, how do you take this wonderful philosophy of Karl Marx and apply it to a concrete societal situation?
Right.
Well, one thing is you overwhelm the system.
And the system is really being overwhelmed.
And that's what's happening right now, listener.
Well, it's probably happening in more than just one place. I mean, Rochester right now is in the limelight of it.
Right.
But they're like, so here's an idea.
What about the supply chains? Overwhelm the system.
Well, my idea for New York is this. Okay, so you know who all these guys are that are breaking all the... Go arrest them and put them in jail and don't let them out.
No, he can't
do that. The sheriff could do that.
Well, yes, he could.
The sheriff could do it.
The police department
probably has lost their...
Right. Right. No, you're right. The sheriff could, if he would.
If he would.
Right. That's another subject for another day.
But the other thing that we were talking too about, the Constitution...
Right.
...being set up on moral... For self-governing, and that self-governing comes underneath the Word of God. So you remove the Word of God, people can't govern themselves anymore. The state has to come in, or the feds have to come in and start to rule and dictate people, because right now the Constitution can't work because morality is leaving us.
The Constitution and its writing assumed a moral character.
They did assume
in
it.
The people.
Hallelujah.
But the assumption is no longer holding. You want to take the argument that we have to have an awakening and people coming to God and confessing their sins and being forgiven.
Yes.
And really, yeah, I mean, that is it.
You know what? Maybe that's how we should wrap up what we're talking about.
Amen.
Because we're, you know, these checks and balances that are underpinning the democracies, we can't forget about that. You can't forget about that, listener. You can't get to the place where you're just going to throw your hands up in the air.
Yeah, but what they mean here in this number 15 is we're just going to have a kind of a fleeting mention every once in a while of Thomas Jefferson and the Constitution, just to make you feel good.
They'll topple topple his statues in just in a short matter of time.
Yeah, and I'm going to throw out a teaser here for next time, so you're surely going to want to tune in next time. And that is, when all this from number 14 and number 15 come down and start to happen around you, what do you do as an individual Christian? Because your leader, Jesus, said, do not resist an evil person. He also, in Matthew chapter 5, he also said, if someone slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other cheek.
Right.
And he also said, if they take you to court for your shirt, give them your coat, too. And so we're going to dive into that, and we're going to see what happens when the state, to what level does the state have to go before a Christian under those commands stands up and resists?
Yeah, do you really oppose God at that point?
And we're going to take a guy who really is the historical example of this, Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Man, you know, what our viewers don't know is how long we've been wrestling with a lot of what we're talking to you about. And
this
really,
is not easy stuff, some of this.
No. I mean, like I said, I've been a little bit ill, feeling under, like, I don't know, it's just the stress of it and talking about this nastiness. It begins to have its work on you.
But we have to face it as mature individuals and say, God is greater.
Right.
Jesus is Savior and Lord and King and Healer and Deliverer. He's all those things. And yet we live in this present evil world at the same time as we live in the kingdom of God.
So we have people that are watching us that may or may not be a believer. And then we have believers that may or may not be eating meat, right? So we have, if you will, three different kinds of people that are really watching us right now.
Well, for next time, sharpen up your steak knives.
Yeah, because we're going to go in on some meat. Yeah, but you know what? If you've been on milk for a while and you're just starting to come around to where, like, I came around to a point like, where are the miracle signs and wonders? Where is the chapter of Acts or the book of Acts? Where is that being done? What is going on in the world that I'm not seeing? How come the Bible doesn't carry its weight that it says that it should be carrying, right? I mean, you just get to that point. And maybe that's where you are right now in listening or watching us right now online. I just want to ask the Lord God to come in and strengthen you right now, to give you resolve to get up and to move, and that the Holy Spirit would begin speaking to you, that you wouldn't shake off the things of the Spirit, that you would begin to shake off the things of the flesh, the desires, the wants, the things that you think that you want, but they would be replaced by a spiritual awakening that would come deep inside of you to wake you up, like, I'm not living like this anymore.
And then out of the mix of this mess that we're living in right now, you lift your eyes and put them on Jesus.
Glory to God. Yes, Lord.
The author and finisher of your faith. That's who he is.
Hallelujah.
He initiates it, he authors it, but he also finishes it, brings it to completion.
Hallelujah.
If you'll cooperate, if you'll do your little part, he'll do his big
Hallelujah.
Part.
Hallelujah. Thank
you,
Jesus.
That's the good news of the gospel.
It is. All right. Well, thanks for watching. We'll be back tomorrow. It might not be a tomorrow for you, but it'll be a tomorrow for us. And thank you for staying with us and watching.
God bless you.